Hey, everybody, welcome. And thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Happy birthday to me. This episode comes out on June 13th. That's my 50th birthday. I'm flying to Korea today all by myself. It should be the shortest day of my life. I had to check with my mom to see if what time I was born, but I think once I cross the international date line, I'll have officially the shortest day of my 50 years. So we got a really cool present this weekend on the Sunday service. My buddy DJ Dave played a few of my songs, even gave me a little shout out on the radio. It was a highlight. If you want a link to that that show, let me know. I'm happy to send it to you. This episode, we kind of pick up where we left off last episode. We did this thing in Germany where we were talking about what's good enough. And I was like, well, what is good enough and how do we make it better? So today we go through a model that I use with clients, specifically around how to do intimacy and do it in a way that helps you sort of measure it and maybe improve it over time. I think having meaningful orientation about what better means is part of getting better. That's what we try to provide today. Oh, and one more thing that happens in this episode is that we get a pretty significant announcement from Laura. So perk up your ears and see if there's anything in what she's bringing to the table that you can support or be a part of. It's really cool to hear her talk about what's going on and to ask for your help. Hope that you can offer it. And for now, I'll just say, yeah, thanks for listening. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
I can take myself dancing. Do you remember the first time you heard of the Flower Song by Miley Cyrus?
I know I heard of it about a dozen times before I heard it. Yeah.
It was when we did an interview and she was like, what do you think? Do you think some people are just better off by themselves? And she said, this new Miley Cyrus song has me thinking. I was like, By the way, I love Miley Cyrus. I really do. Okay. I like her music a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about music for just 1 second, because I have a lot of things that I want to talk about today, but music is one of them. Okay. Because I'm addicted now to this thing. It's called the Sunday service. It's on Ellensburg Community Radio. And I want people to listen to it.
Okay.
It comes on at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. on Sunday morning in Pacific time. My buddy Dave is the DJ. And this weekend, well, actually it just passed because this will come out next week. Dave let me put some songs on the set list. So I'm excited about it.
Okay.
So I think, but I've been putting this in the intro for the last couple of weeks because I want
Have you our really? People.
Yeah, I want them to go listen to this radio station. I want them to go to Facebook and go to the Sunday service at Ellensburg Community Radio and like and follow and listen to it. It's like starts my week off. I'm obsessed. I love it. And if they ask nicely, I'll send them Spotify lists from before the last few weeks.
Wow. Yeah. See, I've always...
When we were at breakfast in Germany and you were like, are you working? I was like, I'm working on my set list for my radio program. That's not my radio program. It's DJ Dave's radio program.
Okay.
But since it's my 50th birthday next week, he said to submit some songs and he will play them for me.
You are Did you going see how to snuck be that in there? One old man and you're heading to Korea. When do you leave?
I leave on my birthday.
Which is?
My 50th birthday will be the shortest day of my life. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of fun?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Flying across the international dateline.
My husband told me that the solstice, the summer solstice, that's like the longest day 21st, of the year, right? Yeah. The 21st will be the shortest for us because that's when we are going to be coming home from Rome.
Ooh.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
I know. Yeah. So I guess technically I probably could have gone to Korea, right? When do you teach in Korea?
I leave Tuesday I don't know, dude. It's so weird. I leave Tuesday. I get there like late Wednesday. I teach Thursday and then I come home Friday or Saturday. I come home Saturday.
So are you flying home on the 21st?
No, I'm flying to Korea on my birthday, which will be the shortest day of my life because I'm flying across the international dateline.
I got it. Okay. Okay.
And it'll lop off like 8 hours of my day.
Of your day?
It'll just like that 24-hour day will technically be like 16 hours.
You know, I get really excited for your 50th birthday because I have a lot of goals that I want for you to set for yourself.
Oh, that's so exciting. Thank you so much. I do not want to hear about your goals for my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet.
Just you. So we can talk about something else if you want.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I had this unique experience where people were like, hey, how was your trip to Germany with Zach? And I was like, oh, Zach.
Seriously.
We had full on brother sister. I did at least. I was just spending so much time with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, we got back to the airport and we got through customs and I was like, there's my car down there. And you're like, there's my flight up there. And we were like, bye.
Yeah.
See you later. Yeah. Take your
get out. There's we the most, I think, touching that we do is you allowed for maybe a fist bump, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of those things where I'm a toucher. So like I'll hug, although I don't think we've ever hugged, but even a hand.
I hugged you sarcastically at the airport the other day.
You did.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, hi. It's so good to see you. And that was enough.
That was it. Anyway, yeah, okay. A little life update. So I told you, Zach, that I was going to share this with our listeners, mostly because I want to crowdsource and I would love some, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I'm going to put it out in the universe.
That's right. Yeah. I'm excited for you for this. Go for it. Yeah.
And this actually comes from, so we did an interview with Steph and I am going to completely botch her last name.
Katudal.
Say it again.
Katudal.
Katudal. Yeah. Yeah. And her story is that the reason I found her is that I had been following her husband, who's a professional and just like beloved human in the running community. And during COVID, he ended up, if you didn't hear the interview, he ended up getting lung cancer and was like basically on his deathbed. And because he is so famous, she was contacting or keeping in touch with the public on his behalf through Caring Bridge. And one of his fans was able to sort of pull some strings and get him the support, the life support that he needed. And it was someone she didn't even know personally, but it was because she just put it out in the universe. Like, this is what's going on. This is what I really need. So she really needed her husband to be on ECMO and to transfer to a new facility, blah, blah, blah. Why am I sharing this with you? So let's see here. I don't even know how long it's been, maybe a month.
About a month.
Yeah. So the story is that my son has had a bump on the back of his head and we've been keeping an eye on it for like 3 years.
And as a name.
Blobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blobby. We named it Blobby. So probably since about he was 4 years old, I think we just kind of assumed that it was just, he bumped his head and maybe it was like a fluid filled pocket. I don't know. Yeah. So we have had ultrasounds done on it. The initial ultrasound was, it's probably just fluid. It doesn't seem to be hard. It's mobile, whatever. The bump is probably the size of a dime in diameter in the back of his head. And so anyway, we kept an eye on it. And then I was like, you know, it kind of seems like it might be growing just a little bit. So we got another one. And the pediatrician, luckily, God bless her, said, you know, I just feel like the ultrasound isn't giving us enough information. Why don't we get an MRI just to get more information, which takes pictures of your brain, the inside of your brain. When we were getting the ultrasound, we discovered, hold on, I have to breathe. Okay. I'm not going to get emotional about this because I've already cried all of the tears that are to be cried, but I do find myself like holding my breath when I talk about it a little bit. So he got the MRI. We're looking at Blobby. What is Blobby? What's it all about? Blobby's attached to blood vessels. That's not the most interesting part of this. The most interesting part is that in the process of looking at this bump on the outside of his head, they actually discovered tumors on the inside of his brain. And the tumors are really small and they are bilateral, I think is the language that they use, which means they're on both sides. They're sort of symmetrical and they're wrapped around the nerves in his ears. And so the diagnosis is this thing called NF2. And I'm going to botch the name of it, so I'm not even going to say it, but it's NF2. And it's a disease that basically is... like 50% of the time it just shows up. 50% of the time it's passed on from genetics, from your parents. Ryan and I have yet to be tested, but we also don't have symptoms. So what NF2 means is that these little tumors will grow and eventually Holden will end up losing hearing. They also grow about 50% of the time on the spinal cord. And that can also cause some issues with sensation, feelings, all of that. It can also impact like cataracts in the eyes. So there's all these little symptoms that can crop up and we never would have discovered his tumors in his brain had we not gotten an MRI for Blobby on the outside. I don't even know if Blobby's connected to the tumors, but anyway, So Holden has NF2. There really isn't any kind of treatment at all at this point. You can't surgically remove them. It hasn't been found at this point, to my knowledge, to be treatable. To go in and do, you know, like surgically remove the tumors. To my knowledge, you can't really treat it like, you know how you can sort of like starve out cancer with your diet if you're not feeding cancer.
Actually, I don't know that.
You don't know that, sure. Yeah. So, you know, we're looking at potentially eating healthier, but I just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting it out there in the universe.
So yeah, you're like saying, hey, maybe somebody in the Marriage Therapy Radio universe has like a nose of somebody.
Who knows? Yeah. If you're like, oh yeah, NF2, totally. I absolutely know that. Or
I wrote my dissertation on that.
I'm the only surgeon in the world that knows how to remove these without causing any sort of like facial paralysis or loss of hearing. I'm like, cool, let's talk. So info@marriagetherapyradio.com. Like email me, reach out to me. I'm just going to put in the universe and see what we can find.
And I am going to put in the universe that you listen to Ellensburg Community Radio, the Sunday service, and we just see if we can make that happen too.
I just shared such a big thing right there.
I know, but I didn't want you to cry. I didn't want you to cry.
Were you worried? What would happen? Like, are you okay with me crying? Are you okay with tears?
Of course. I'm good at you crying. I do good when you cry. It's been like about 5 times and I have done a very good job.
In our friendship that I have cried?
Yeah.
You have yet to cry.
No.
That's right. Because you told me you're not a crier.
Yeah. And I'm pretty defended. So especially when it comes to stuff that is like really, you remember last summer was like super duper intense and chaotic. I had to literally like compartmentalize everything. So if I don't, then I'm in trouble. But no, I think you guys have been super brave with this whole thing. And it's been really fun to watch you guys collaborate as parents. And I almost wish I could hang out with Holden a little bit and just kind of mess with him because he's probably a trooper too. You know, I mean, he's a trooper too, and he's figuring it out, which is really cool to watch.
Yeah. So. It has been interesting. I mean, it kind of like took the wind. Like I think the phrase I use is like, it sort of knocked me right off my feet. Like, you know, this benign thing that we were just sort of joking around about, Blobby's been like a passenger on Holden for years. And so Blobby has been something we've talked about, and you go in and you're thinking it's just Blobby that we're looking at. And then they're like, by the way, Blobby is not very interesting compared to these tumors in his brain. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Completely like takes the breath away.
Yeah.
But you know, something that I have learned, and this has kind of been alongside like a lot of my clients right now, I think I've shared with you, my clients are going through like really hard stuff right now, all at once. And that seems to be the theme. Like you get a theme of folks that come in and like everybody's dealing with affairs, or everybody's dealing with addiction, or everybody's, you know, whatever, in-law issues. And all at once I was getting these email updates from my clients, and it was like life-shattering things happening in their lives. And it was all at the same time that I was learning about Holden's tumors. And it was very interesting to have this, like, I don't know, space as to how do you show up for somebody when they're really dealing with the hardest of the hard? How, as a human being, can you show up for someone when they're really struggling? And I'm dealing with that for my own journey of like, what feels good when people reach out and they want to talk about, you know, Holden, or they want to offer support? What feels good to me? And then using that information as to how do I show up for other people when they're really struggling?
You guys are doing a good job. And I think the hard part is I want to ask premature questions. Like, I remember I said, are you guys ready to get excited about this yet? Like, were you like learn sign language? Or you sign up for the, you know, Deaf Olympics or whatever else? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, are you yet at the place where this becomes kind of a new norm that we adapt to and embrace, versus it sounds like, no, we're still in the investigative phase and kind of sussing out and assessing the situation.
Yeah. We're definitely learning a lot more. I mean, he's really had just very preliminary, like, okay, these are the first images that we have of, we're calling him Blobby, obviously, like Blobbies. Yeah. We have the first images of Blobbies.
Blobby's buddies. Yeah.
We have a baseline, audiogram, I believe is what it's called. So baseline testing of where his hearing is at. Apparently he's already lost some hearing in his right ear. The next step is going to be in July. And I feel for this kid where we have to travel to go to these specialists. And so they are really great about scheduling these appointments where they're back to back to back, but it's literally an entire day. And at some point, they have to knock him out with anesthesia so that he can actually be photographed, like MRI, for a long period of time to get his spine. But yeah, I think we are getting excited. I actually got really excited. I'm getting excited about functional medicine and not just like the Western version. So thinking about how we eat and how we show up in the world and our energy and all that good stuff. I'm getting excited. We have a energy holistic healer. I don't know how to describe her, but she was just like, she had this sort of this image of Holden, and she was thinking to herself, I'd love to walk Holden through a way of thinking about these tumors and a way to like file them down or like vacuum them up, and just like using imagery as part of his healing process. So I get excited about that. His class apparently is very excited to learn sign language. Holden is anti-sign language. He's more interested in lip reading, because I told him that you could be across the room and you could watch somebody talking and you can know exactly what they're saying. And he was like, yeah, superhuman power. I'm into that.
Yeah.
So a little bit of excitement there.
You guys show him those videos, the bad lip reading videos from the NFL and from different shows. Like, all right, Holden, this is what you're going to get good at.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that was my update.
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular that you wanted to talk about regarding things you're seeing in your office?
A little bit. I was thinking about last week and how we kind of cobbled it together from Germany and had this discussion about good enough. And incidentally, we're kind of at the anniversary or the month of 30 Soft. And so, you know, we had about 45 people ask for the spreadsheet and want to see how people are kind of measuring success or failure. And I thought about, like, I want to do one of those things where I just sort of tell you what I tell clients about this sort of thing and see if it's helpful. Does that make sense?
You want to flip into your script? You want to test it out on me and see if it's good enough for a future book?
I want to test it out and see what you think. Well, yeah, it's actually already in a book. This is like chapter 6 of the book that I already wrote called The Marriage Therapy Journal. But it's really about redefining intimacy. And we've talked about this a billion times before, but it's this idea that, you know, people come into my office and they say, we're struggling with intimacy. I always double check, is that code for sex? And even when people say we're struggling with physical intimacy, still code for sex. And so we have to do that front end work to pull out intimacy and intercourse and sort of say, okay, what is actual intimacy? Which is, you know, we've said it a million times, intellectual, emotional, physical, sexual, spiritual.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that just for a second, because I want people to have something to bite into and chew on. And maybe even measure as they think about good enough or better today than it was yesterday. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Okay. All right.
Here's what I mean. When people think about how to measure better or worse, it's easy to kind of go, oh, I feel better, or this is better. I feel better today than yesterday, or I feel better this year than last year. I want to know what they feel better about. And give them a thing to like look at and measure. So if we stick with this template, right, where there's intellectual intimacy, that means that the two of us have a practice of putting our thoughts together, exchanging ideas, respecting each other's sort of intellectual capacity and interests, and that we do that on a consistent enough basis that feels like we are connected intellectually. And some people, they don't have the same interests or whatever. So maybe she's in a book club, or maybe he, you know, plays, you know, crosswords or something, and or video, whatever. But they get that outward. What I'm saying is, if intellectual intimacy is part of the equation, and you can look at it and go, okay, we're doing pretty good. We have like a B minus B. We have a B.
Okay.
What actually happens for you that helps you get a B plus? Oh, I wish we listened to the same podcast. Oh, I wish that we read the same book. I wish that when I sent you an article, we could talk about it over dinner. Mm. Oh, I wish that every once in a while, instead of talking about the kids, we would talk about the news, or we would talk about just philosophical things. Like when you and I were up on that castle and I was like, oh my gosh, like what would it be like to live here? And what is this? And what do you think they did in this room? Like there's a certain degree of, I want to go into the deeper levels of our brains that maybe we don't do naturally. And if we want to raise our betterness or sort of our intimacy quotient, one of the places we can do that is in the area of intellectual intimacy. And then you can kind of go through all five, right? Like sort of say, hey, how are you doing in intellectual intimacy? Oh, B, emotional intimacy, B plus, physical intimacy, A minus, sexual intimacy, C, spiritual intimacy, oh, C plus. Well, now we have like a 2.8 or whatever that is. I don't know what that is.
Sure.
And I think where people get in trouble, because it's a grade point average. Like in that model, there's sort of this like, yeah. we have a grade point average. In that model, we have a 2.8. And I think where people get hung up and in trouble a lot of times is they come in measuring against the possibility of a 4.0. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, sexual intimacy is a C. I think we should have more frequent and more acrobatic sex and come together with penetration, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, that's A plus. Cool. Great. But you're not going to go from C to A plus. That doesn't mean don't work on it. Right. It doesn't mean don't effort in that direction. It means, hey, what does it mean to go from a C to a C plus? And I think if we parse those out like thoughtfully, now we have something to actually work on.
Okay. I'm thinking about our listeners, because when we talk about intimacy and we give you those five categories, so I'll just repeat them. You have sexual intimacy. That's, you know, like sexual touching, physical intimacy. That doesn't necessarily mean sexual. It could be non-sexual touch, like holding hands, walking side by side, doing a physical activity together, hiking, whatever. Spiritual intimacy. I think you might assume that that would be based in religion, but it doesn't have to be. It's just sort of an alliance in something or a belief in something that's bigger and greater than yourself. Intellectual intimacy, the sharing of your thoughts and ideas, and then emotional intimacy, your sharing of your feelings, sort of like the inner being of who you are, what's going on for you. That's one way that we have categorized intimacy. I like doing that because it becomes really clear to people when we are talking about something that's so gray and so big and generic, and to be able to sort of put it in those five categories. I wanted to push back just a tiny bit, because I actually was listening to a podcast and it was about training, go figure. And in triathlon, you have these three categories. And a lot of people will say, which of the three are you best at? And I think you even asked me, right? Like, you have swimming, biking, and running. Which is the one that you feel strongest at? Mm-hmm. And you would assume that if swimming, for example, was my weakest and is my weakest because I just learned how to swim 9 months ago, that I would spend the majority of my time working on bringing up the swimming to the mm-hmm. rest of the categories. Mm-hmm. But this latest podcast was saying, I don't know about that. I think maybe you should just lean into the one that's your strongest, because that's mm-hmm. the one that you enjoy doing the most. Obviously, mm-hmm. if it's the strongest and that's the one that you lean toward, it's more natural. So if I was looking at these five categories, and let's just say it with my husband, I have physical intimacy. That's our strongest one, because I've shared that, you know, like we touch mm-hmm. each other a lot. We're very close mm-hmm. and connected
yeah.
physically.
Yeah.
If that's the one that is our strongest, that might be like the grounding feature of our intimate level. And that mm-hmm. I don't want to put that on the shelf and say that one's fine. Let's lean into spiritual intimacy because that's the one that we don't connect well mm-hmm. on. So now I'm going to do something that I probably doesn't feel natural, that I don't really enjoy doing. And I'm going to lean away from physical intimacy. I'm kind of torn as to what do I do if I'm.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a very, very popular debate about that.
Really?
When you're managing people like in a business and you kind of evaluate their strengths and weaknesses, there's kind of a management debate is, do we invest in people's strengths or do we invest in their weaknesses? Do we try to like just lean on the thing that they do really well?
Yeah.
Or do we try to develop them up in areas that aren't? And I think in that case, you know, oftentimes you're trying to compare to like what a team is and like, oh, well, I don't need Laura to be really good at data management because that's what Rob is really good at or whatever. Like, so that is true. The reason I like the GPA metaphor is because I'm talking about how do we raise our GPA? It's really hard to raise your GPA by trying to bring your A higher.
Okay.
There's no leverage there. There's no math to play with there. But you can certainly raise your GPA by really concentrating on bringing one grade higher while kind of going, oh, I'm so glad I'm really good at math, or so glad I'm really good at physical touch. Not that you take your foot off the gas, but you kind of let yourself be good at that while then leveraging some of that goodwill toward, now let's really focus on spiritual intimacy. And, or whatever. I think what I want people to understand is that the fact that we don't have a lot of sex doesn't mean that we're not intimate, or doesn't mean that we can't be intimate.
Okay.
It means that we can lean into things like values that we have, generosity and adventure and, you know, fun, or it can mean that we can really try to make sure to prioritize intimate conversation and learn how to connect emotionally. And then maybe what you find is that there's a little bit of bleed over, because now that we're having more emotional conversations, we're more, she or he is more available for sex in a way that he wasn't, or sexual intimacy in a way that he wasn't before. But it all kind of bleeds together. I mean, I got into a little bit of a tiff with a client the other day because he was like pretty adamant that the only path to more intimacy was more sex. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a second, hold up. Like, he's like, that's how I feel loved. And I just said, how does your wife feel loved?
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you're very clear what counts as intimacy for you. What counts as intimacy for her? And he was like, well, I would think that having sex is part of the, and I was like, you would think,
mm-hmm.
But what if you thought more? What if you thought about some other things? And this is where I think if we're giving people an idea of how to chase better, part of my premise is, and sex is an easy place to do this. Sex is an easy place to inventory what feels good and what doesn't feel good. Oh, I like it when you go down on me. I don't like it when you go down on me. Mm-hmm. I like it when you bite. I don't like it when you bite. I like it when we have foreplay. I don't like it when we, or whatever, like whatever it is. I like this position. I don't like that position. It's a very easy way to inventory what feels good and what doesn't feel good, because your body will tell you. Mm-hmm. Your body will go, oh yeah, that's amazing. Or your body will go, ouch, right? We have a little bit less insight into that when it comes to intellectual or emotional. But I think it's worth saying to people. So we're saying, hey, look, we could grow in the emotional category. And then I'll say, what exactly helps you feel connected emotionally?
Right.
Is it eye contact? Is it an intentional stress reducing conversation? Is it, you know, what is it? You know, what exactly helps you feel connected intellectually? And I'm not talking about levying demands. I'm saying pay attention as you would to your body. Like your body's giving you information. Oh, that felt really good. That felt really nice. And the more we get better at that, the more we can kind of go, oh, if I do more of that, I can raise my grade from a C to a C+.
Yeah.
And now my whole GPA is rising and we feel more intimately connected.
Can we transfer this from intimacy to conflict? Because I will do this thing where I say to couples, tell me something good. Tell me something good.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
And I want to know, what is it that you're proud of that happened in the last week? And most often I hear the same response, which is really interesting. I mean, this totally leans on the research that we have from Dr. Gottman, which is, it's not the absence of conflict. It's the readiness of repair in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So what they say is, well, Laura, I'll tell you, we got into it. I'm like, okay, I thought we were talking about something good. And they're like, we are, just wait. They say, we got into it, but we repaired, we caught ourselves so much faster this time. And the lapse between disconnection and connection was so much shorter. And I was like, that's awesome. And that's the way that they're measuring whether or not they're doing better with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really good information for me. They have figured that out, that what they're looking for is not the absence, or maybe what they're looking for is the absence of the four horsemen. Mm-hmm. I was less critical this time than I've ever been before. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's the measurement that we're using to gauge that we're getting better at conflict.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a measure of intimacy. You've heard me say it a million times. Like, I think when you sign up for a long-term committed relationship, you get these two privileges that you don't have in any other relationship. And one is to pursue and solicit sex, which you cannot do at the grocery store or on the soccer field or at your job. Like, you get sued or fired or whatever. The other one is to kind of engage in conflict, like dirty, down and dirty, which you can't do at the soccer field or the grocery store at your job. You and I can't do, because we just don't have the intimacy on the back end of that.
Yep.
And so we just get frustrated and annoyed and we go, bye, see you later. And then that's kind of how that goes. Yep. But if you have conflict with your partner and you then go to repair as a priority, ideally you end up with something that looks more like intimacy, because we've come through this thing. And I've said it again a million times, that's kind of why we all celebrate makeup sex. Makeup sex is so great, because it sort of signals the coming through the hard part. And I think if you said, hey, one of the ways that I think we could get better at emotional intimacy is by prioritizing repair, I think we're right back where we started, right? Like, there's this idea that kind of everything helps us, everything has an opportunity to either raise or lower grade point average. And I'm, as you know, I'm pro repair as a as a value, that's a value that we hold in our house very, very highly. Like, we don't fret so, so much about conflict, but we all feel like being good at repair is part of what is the glue that holds us together. And so if that's an area of growth, then I would say, amen, like lean into it, you know. And even physical intimacy, like if we think about it, I think you can increase physical intimacy, which is primarily about proximity, you know, mm-hmm. just by becoming more aware and attentive. Like, yeah, no, I'm going to stay in this room while you cook dinner, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit a little bit closer. I'm going to touch your feet with my feet. I'm going to go to the bathroom with the door open, or I'm going to get in the shower non-sexually with you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to get in the shower while you're getting in the shower so that we can just,
I think that to take a non-sexual shower, what a gift. Sometimes I have to say, like, my son is the best cock block and I just need it from time to time. He still showers with us, judge as you will, but I think we've talked about it on the podcast. I'm waiting for him to make the decision when he's okay not being in shower with mom and dad. But I think
actually, I'll speak to that for just 1 second. Okay. And I think maybe your whole family is a family that I think does really well with physical intimacy. And and part of it is because you don't have fear or shame around nakedness. Like, there's mm-hmm. just the thing that's just sort of like, hey, this is, like, bodies are bodies, and we, mm-hmm. this is how we do, and this is what it is. And like, it kind of works like this and it works like that. And I think that can be a really good example of how we raise the kind of our grade in the physical intimacy area. Yeah. And it's just among them, right? For some families that won't work. For some people, they'll be like, oh no, we don't do that. Well, what are the other ways then? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to prioritize cooking together. Are we going to make sure that we hold hands in the car? You know,
totally.
Are we going to, because again, I think you have to lean into the privileges. I always tell people when they're in my office and they're asking me, like, what do you mean by physical intimacy? And I'll say, what I mean is, if I trade places with either one of you right now, where I go sit on the couch and you sit in my chair, me and your partner are going to create more physical space.
Right.
I'm going to move to one end of the couch. You're going to move to the other end of the couch because we don't share the same physical intimacy that you even have in this room right now.
Yeah.
You know, by virtue of how close you can kind of, and that's a privilege that you have.
You know, it's interesting. You know? I was listening. I had a new couple recently and they might even listen to the podcast, but one of the complaints that the partner was having is that she was observing a level of physical intimacy between her partner and another person, a stranger to her. Mm-hmm. And what she was saying, he was like, I don't agree with you. There was no intimacy there. But what she was noticing is that this woman was taking upon herself a privilege that only she should have as the partner mm-hmm. to her husband. Mm-hmm. And so the level of intimacy that this woman was sort of boundary crossing made her uncomfortable. And she was like, I didn't like that. I don't like this woman. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be around her. She makes me uncomfortable. She wasn't blaming her husband. She was just simply saying, there is a privilege that only I get. And this woman was crossing. And it's funny because listening to her, you know, sometimes as a therapist, you're like, come on, lady, we got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
But what she was talking about was this privilege and how the physical intimacy was awkward. It was like, you don't get to touch my husband like that. Only I get to touch my husband like that. You don't get to have familiarity where you finish his sentences or you do, you know, like that's only my job.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I get it though, man. I think it's, again, to me, it's about if we just go back to sort of why do we don't want to talk about this at all? I would say it's an extension of last week's podcast from Germany, where we're talking about like, what is good enough and what does better mean? And I think because we're human people, we need things to measure. And if we need things to measure,
rather than robot people.
Yeah. Although, okay, listen to this. Sorry, I'm going to finish this thought. But have you messed around with ChatGPT yet? Mm-mm. This is like that AI monster thing robot that like tells you stuff. I was with a buddy and we were just messing around the other day and we were like, let's try this out. So I said, chat lady, whatever her name is, Blobby. It's not Blobby. Whatever. I said, hey, ChatGPT AI lady, be a tour guide and give me a 12-hour itinerary for the city of Seoul focusing on food and diversity of experiences. That's what I put. Within like 15 seconds, I had an entire itinerary planned out for like what I could do, where to start, where to eat breakfast, what to do next, you know, what I should have for lunch. It was insane. Anyway, yeah. AI is going to take over the world, except maybe not therapists or comedians.
My girlfriend did the same thing where she was like, hey, can you just plan my triathlon training plan for me? Like, we pay coaches all this money, and within seconds, it just populates, right? Like, this training. Yeah. And she was just like, oh, that just, it's so deflating. I just spent, you know, $300 a week on this coach.
So here's my challenge, reflection, invitation to people who are listening, which is go ahead and check in with yourself and your partner about how you might grade yourself, and be curious and gracious. Like, this is not a harsh grading scale. It's just like you really checking in around, say, these five areas. How do we do intellectually? If I had to give us a grade, emotionally, physically, sexually, spiritually, and then do the math, plug it in. You can go on Google and be like, hey, what's the, or you know what, my, if you ask nicely, I will send you the chapter for my book that this is from. I think I still have it.
Posted on our website.
I don't know how to do that.
Because here's what's going to happen. If you ask nicely, it means they're going to email me, and I'm on vacation for 2 weeks, and then I have to forward it to you. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk to you for 2 weeks.
All right, guys, sorry. You can't have it.
Cause Zach is going Laura's to on vacation. Put it on our website. Marriage Therapy Radio.
I don't know
how
to do that.
We have a producer who's very smart.
Anyway, you can Instagram me too, because Laura's on vacation and busy. I think part two of that is to really check in and say to one another, or investigate with one another, what exactly could happen in the next week, 30 days, 90 days, that would help us raise our GPA in this place.
Like, very specifically.
And again, maybe it is very specifically. Yeah. Like, I think it would be good if we took a shower once a week, or I think it would be good if we had the stress reducing conversation, or State of the Union, which I think is episode 262. If you want to go back to that, I've been trying to remember, what specifically would help me feel like we could raise our GPA. And then, you know, once a quarter or whatever, however often you get your report card, you can go, oh, look, I'm trending in the right direction. Oh, look, our GPA is coming up, and that can feel really cool. So I guess I was just looking for a way for you to kind of sink your teeth into, you know, actually measuring better for yourselves. Mm. Yeah.
I think, you know, just, this reminds me a little bit of chapter. So the chapter solving your solvable problems in the Seven Principles book, where it gives 8 common solvable problems and it gives you sort of like a task. And what I like is that you gave a very specific task with regard to physical intimacy. You said it's proximity. So here's the task. If you are low in physical intimacy, then your task is to find ways to put yourself in close proximity with one another.
Sure.
It would be helpful if there was a task, if you will, for each of those 5 levels of intimacy. And what I'd really love to do is actually do that for conflict as well. If there was a way for us to have like a whole nother, podcast with regard to, all right, now here's the 5 things when it comes to conflict. You evaluated your intimacy. Now let's do conflict.
Yeah, I'm into it. By the way, when we talk about physical intimacy and proximity, this often blows people's minds, which is that sexual intimacy doesn't require proximity. You and Ryan could have had, you know, a sexy rendezvous from Germany to, you know, just by on the phone, or maybe sending pictures to each other.
Maybe you did.
Or like, you can send sexy texts throughout the day. There's a thing called sex, right? All of that does not require proximity. So that's why it's like, you can kind of split it out a little bit, because physical is different than sexual. And I think those can open lots of doors for you if you want to mess around with your GPA.
You brought it up. I'm gonna mention this because I told you about it, and I really wanted to remember about my vibrator, my toothbrush vibrator.
Oh, right.
Yeah. These are the things that couples therapists.
This is the thing that almost got you like impounded at the German security at the German
But not really. So
it took like 40 minutes for them to go through Laura's bag at the
and all Zach kept saying is, it's your vibrator. It's your vibrator. It's FYI, I didn't travel with a vibrator, but here's what happened.
Then we got to go.
When I travel, I always recommend that women travel with their vibrator. It's such a great stress reliever. You're on the road. It's like a pleasurable thing, whatever it might be. I did not bring my vibrator with me. So, I was like, what's the next best thing? And I was like, you know what? Why is there not an adapter for a vibrating toothbrush? Like a head that you can put on your toothbrush, and you already have something that creates vibration. Mm-hmm. Now you just need a new adapter for the top. So I thought it was a brilliant idea.
This is your business idea that you
generated. Yeah, it was my business idea. So I immediately texted it to my other pleasure informants. And it within the time frame it took them to respond back, I had already done my research and found out it's not a novel idea.
Yeah.
Women have been doing this for years.
Or they just, ChatGPT was like, actually, here's the...
here's the website. So that's what I recommend is that if you are someone who's like, man, it's really uncomfortable. I'm traveling with my business partner. And if they go through my carry-on luggage and I have...
Which he wouldn't.
A vibrator, it's going to be really embarrassing. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get an adapter for my toothbrush. So do your Google search. There are adapters for your toothbrush head for your pleasure. That is just like the biggest gift I have for all of you. You are so welcome. FYI, this is for external use only. Okay.
All right. Adapter for your toothbrush. Ellensburg Community Radio, the Sunday service.
NF2
if you know
for
anything
Laura.
About NF2, get in touch with us. But don't email Laura because she's on vacation.
No, if it's about me, go ahead and email. Oh, but if it's about Zach, and then...
Oh, also, and if you want the chapter, I'm happy to send it to you. Or you can obviously buy the book. It's on
Amazon. Buy the book. That's a good idea.
It has all the chapters.
All right. Yeah. Let's land this plane. You got to see a client.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. A couple of important reminders, info@marriagetherapyradio.com. I do joke. I will have access to email and I will respond back or forward along to Zach anything you would like to send to us. You can also find Zach. He's answering all of your direct messages on Instagram, but he did share with me that he becomes a bit of a stalker. So if you friend him on Instagram, be ready for his friendship. And another thing coming up, just as a reminder, we do offer our intensive weekend workshops. We have one coming up in the fall, so put it on your calendar. I'm looking, it is October 20th and 21st. So just put it on your calendar now and register. You can go to marriagetherapyradio.com to register for that, or the weekly series that I have coming this summer. It's starting July 5th. For those of you who are interested in starting off with a weekly workshop. Thanks so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.